The Good Shepherd Sunday. We get to talk about being sheep, which is always fun, right? So the theme of my message here this morning is only one. And with that in mind, I'm going to read to you from John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And this is God's word, all words of Jesus there. And so we're going to, what I want you to walk away today from this message is there's three only ones that I want you to remember. And to start out with, the first one, we're going to look at a passage here. I'm going to have the verse here appear on the screen, but the first bullet point here is there is only one name, which is the only source of salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, just to give you a little context here, Peter and John have been arrested for preaching in Jesus' name, and they're brought before the Jewish leaders. And Peter is speaking, and he says, ends it here in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So, of course, the one name here is Jesus that Peter here is preaching about. And so remember, last week we talked about how Jesus summed up the Bible into one sentence. And that sentence is this, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And now this is what Peter, John, and the apostles are doing. And they are on fire. It's no longer Peter the denier, the one who denied Jesus three times. It's Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, boldly proclaiming in the one name, only one, Jesus. And so in that Acts chapter 4:12, did you catch it? Only one road to heaven. Not many roads. It's very clear here. Only one. And Jesus said just as much. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Only one. Jesus. Only Jesus. Which we will be singing during communion. And you know what? This is a very offensive and distasteful thing for the people of this world to hear. This isn't being inclusive. On the one hand, we have Christians dying around the world for believing what we do. It's our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Over this last year, 4,498 Christians have died in countries like Nigeria, Somalia, Iran, Afghanistan, Because in a lot of these countries, Christianity isn't legal. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, where it is legal in Europe and America, we have the secularists, the non-religious types, who are so offended that we dare say Jesus is the only way. So they try to shut us down and silence our voices. But we won't be shut down, will we? We will continue to preach and proclaim Jesus Christ crucified. We will continue to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins, just like Jesus said in that summed up sentence. Why will we do this here, Promise? Because Muhammad won't save you. Joseph Smith and the Mormons won't save you. Buddha won't save you. By the way, those three people, their bones are still in the grave. Your money won't save you. Your goodness won't save you. Your I have more good deeds than bad deeds won't save you. Your living a good life won't save you. All those roads lead to dead ends, both literally and figuratively. And we need saved. We need to be led. Because we are all sheep that go astray, aren't we? We need to be saved, which is why this passage in John 10 is so perfect. Where Jesus says he is the good shepherd, which leads to the second only one. There is only one good shepherd. And you know, it's not a random illustration that Jesus used here way back in 30 AD or whatever year around that time that he said this. You get tired of me hearing me say it probably, but he's just telling us what God's been telling us from the beginning. Back in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And then in Ezekiel, also in the Old Testament, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. So no, of course, Jesus just isn't randomly using this illustration. This was prophesied about that this good shepherd would be coming. And so the good shepherd indeed, to quote Isaiah and Ezekiel, tends to our needs. Needs, not wants. He tends to our needs. He gathers us when we are lost. Who gets lost almost every week besides me? He carries us in his arms. That's why I love that one picture of Jesus carrying the sheep. He carries us when we are hurt. And he rescues us from sin, death, and the devil. When the good shepherd laid down his life for us sheep. You see, this good shepherd isn't like a hired hand. Jesus talks about the hired hand here. They would hire people, the shepherds would, to come in and help out, watch the sheep. But when the wolves came around to get the sheep, to eat them, they bail. They take off. But the good shepherd doesn't. They're more concerned with their own skin. You know, all these other religions and voices in our world are trying to distract us and to get us out of that fold, to get us out of that flock, the flock that we are all in together. Those voices, those other religions are trying to get us out. And sometimes, by the way, these wolves are dressed up like Christians to even fool us even more. Don't listen to them. They are false teachers. They will say things that sound good, but are really taking your eyes off of only Jesus. You see, usually a false teacher is going to say something that sounds good about Jesus, but then it's going to have an and. Follow your heart. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Do what feels right. Godly living brings prosperity. See, there's teachers out there disguised as Christians telling that if you're living a good life, you will prosper. And by that, you will have a lot of money and stuff. It's not right. It's not the gospel. They're adding to only Jesus. Verse 14, it said that not only is Jesus our good shepherd, but he knows us so well, he knows you by name. Other areas in Scripture, Jesus knows you so well, he knows the number of hairs on your head. That's how much he cares for us. Then I want to read here verse 15 and 16 again from John chapter 10. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd, which leads to the third and final only one. There is only one flock filled with all kinds of people. Jesus said there, you know, I have other sheep. I must bring them also. Guess what? We are the other sheep. Yes, Jesus came to save the children of Israel. That's what was prophesied about. But Jesus came for us too. We're those other sheep. He came for all of us. And again, Jesus just didn't make this up. In Isaiah 56, verse 8, it says, "The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them, besides those already gathered." You know, sometimes we may not like this part. This part might make us feel a little uncomfortable. Because included in these other sheep, the good shepherd loves people who don't look like us. Loves people who don't act like us. Loves people who sin a lot. He came for them too. May not seem fair. You know, we've lived good lives, right? We've been following God. We go to church every Sunday. And then there's these people out there just doing all kinds of bad stuff. Those other sheep. But guess what? Jesus came for them too. He is that wants them to be a part of the one flock filled with all kinds of different people. There's no different subgroups. One flock. I have a picture up here on the screen I wanted to show you. I love this picture because it's a picture of a lamb, obviously, with the crown of thorns on. And this is what's so awesome about our Savior. Our God who loves and knows us so much and laid down his life for us. He came to be the good shepherd. He indeed is the good shepherd. But he also became one of us. He became a sheep. You see, he's also the Lamb of God. So that he could lay down his life for us and suffer on that cross where they placed the crown of thorns on his head. To intensify the suffering. This is what the Lamb of God did for us, sheep. Jesus came for the North Americans, the South Americans, the Asians, the Australians, the Europeans, the Africans, and the Antarcticans, if there's anybody living there. But we all are one flock who has one shepherd, and we will continue to preach in one name. I just want to be a sheep. Amen.